Hello and welcome to the Round Robin Podcast. I am this week's host, Luke, and today I am joined by Bradley.
Hello. I've come in and you guys are all here this time. This is great.
Oh my God.
The promised time has finally arrived. It's a Christmas miracle.
I'm back and I ain't going away.
And Mr. Rob Fursland.
Hello.
And Maddie Cunningham.
Nailed it.
Me and Rob are sharing a mic this week.
Yeah, so you might hear a bit of like pickup on the both of them just bouncing back and forth.
It's fine.
They're going to have to share. And learn to share.
Hello.
Quick disclaimer, this podcast is for entertainment purposes only. Do not use anything we do or say in any way, shape, or form to be a replacement for true mental health professionals. If you have been affected by anything we discuss in this podcast now or in the future, please consult your nearest trained professional.
Is that a new thing we've got to do at the beginning of each podcast?
I am doing that now because today we are talking about paranoia.
Oh no.
And as I've been going on through a lot of research into paranoia, it turns out a lot of it's to do with mental health issues. So I believe that I should do that at the forefront of anything we do or say. Therefore, no one will take us seriously and think that we're actually giving advice.
Are you telling me you're not a medically trained professional, Luke?
I am, but not in mental health. So I've each given you a piece of paper. So on one of these pieces of paper, it contains an action. It is a role for one person and one person only. It is your role to weed out what the other person is and what the action they've been given.
Okay.
Oh.
So you get a bonus.
Hang on, 1 second. These two have already done the thing where the mic is between the both of them and Rob talked. Rob, move the mic and do your sound again.
I think you'll find I didn't talk. I made a noise.
Well, the
it's
noise
very different.
The noise went into the void. Noise into the mic.
Eagle-eared listeners may have heard me go, ooh.
There we go. Luke, continue.
What if the action is annoying Bradley? If that's the case, Rob's already on there.
I'm in your head already, Bradley.
So, going into it, what is paranoia? Well, paranoia is, according to Wikipedia, paranoia is a mental health condition that affects a person's thoughts. A person with paranoia is called paranoid, surprisingly.
Yeah.
Paranoia is a thought process heavily influenced by anxiety or fear, often to a point of irrationality and delusion. A paranoid person's thinking is shaped by fear and anxiety. Like I said before, in everyday language, the term paranoia refers to someone who's been excessively suspicious without justification, that or others are plotting against them. You can see many of these in board games such as Werewolf, Resistant Nemesis, where paranoia is basically used as a play point.
Okay.
So people love paranoia in games and things, don't they? It's quite common to use paranoia to put people against each other. And as somebody who runs D&D, you see a lot of paranoia in your players as well, because they always suspect literally everything.
Yeah, because we've got a sort of a house rule that Benzo is the villain.
When he's able to do those kind of laughs, he's working on something.
So I say, for me, it's Nick. Nick is always the traitor, or Nick is always the bad guy.
That's the thing, you always get that point where it's the same person many times. So immediately get
even then,
all
Nick,
the suspicion placed on them without justification. So you could say you're paranoid that person is always going to be the killer.
Nick isn't actually very often the traitor, but he always acts like one and he is always suspicious.
This is the power of being a shifty bastard.
Yeah, exactly.
We do have Nick on camera saying like, well, the point is if you're always suspicious, then, you know, no one knows what to do from game to game. But they're always treating you exactly the same. Like, you know what to do. You know what you're getting from Nick.
My experience is always the quiet ones.
That's why it's Ben, isn't it?
I'm not plugging. So, as mentioned in those games, the secret objectives of the keys to winning, they're hiding one's actions is important to avoid other players from basically blocking you. So you have to act in a way which you're not giving away the game in a lot of sense as well.
Okay.
Because if you have hidden objectives, like I've given you guys, you need to work in a way where you can get your objective completed, but not give away the game.
Quick question. Should we be reading those objectives now?
Yes, I told you to read the objectives.
Sorry, I must have missed that.
Like, yeah, I said I'd given you a piece of paper, but I thought that was prompt too. Look
Sorry,
at your piece of paper.
I thought, oh my God, mine says nothing. Wait, some.
So one person has an action, three people doesn't have an action.
I'm sorry.
So maybe he's just playing us.
Maybe. I don't know.
I don't know who actually has the action.
I remember the last time we did a game like this with Bradley, and he gave away the fact that he was a traitor. Because what's this weird thing on my phone screen?
Wait.
When we were playing Jackbox around Luke's that time, remember?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like, mine doesn't say this. Mine says something else.
Wasn't that Phoebe?
No, it was actually Bradley.
So, as you can tell, some people are better at it than others.
In my defense, I didn't know that there wasn't going to not be stuff on this piece of paper. So I was like, oh, has Luke accidentally just given us the wrong piece
I
of paper?
I told you at the start.
I missed it, I'm sorry.
Not even listening to it. Is it because I'm reading something?
Luke, that was fine.
Like, oh, I don't need to pay attention to this. He's reading it off of
no, I didn't hear either. Am I deaf?
I'm having to manage these guys' microphone, you know? It's a lot of stress going on.
In Bradley's defense, it's very rare I'll do this, but in Bradley's defense, I also assumed that we all had our own individual actions, not that only one person had the
action. What would be a point of paranoia if... because I'm gonna weed them out.
That's very true. It's very true.
It's basically just a very small scale level of resistance.
That's fair.
Okay, I like this. I'm already in. I mean, I've already given away maybe my hand, but who knows?
So you gotta find out who the person is with an action. You gotta find out what the action is for a bonus point as well.
All right,
here we go. Any of you guys got any suspicions yet, or are you going to carry on?
It's Ben. Well,
yeah,
it's
Ben hasn't said a word until you prompted him to say something, so yeah, I think it's Ben.
It's Ben.
I mean, I think it's Rob, because you're getting really super, like, straight away finding a way to accuse me, because you know I'm easy to accuse of this sort of thing.
It's definitely Ben, because he's standing up to me. I know him.
But also, I know it's definitely not Bradley, because unfortunately, Bradley, you don't have that tactical genius. Yeah.
You also held it up and then...
And showed it both sides.
Sad.
And I'm pretty sure I could see it, and I'm on the opposite end.
Once again, I thought that'd been a mistake.
Always is just the long game. Because obviously, I know what's written on there.
The long game. This is
like he brought his own blank piece of paper.
Yeah. No, the action is pretend your piece of paper is blank.
But no,
Bradley's been here since the start, so.
In all realism, I think I know what's actually going on here. There is no action. You're trying to play us against each other. You're the paranoia.
I am paranoia. So we know a lot about paranoia. It's all to do with fear. So we know a lot about fear because of the horror movies, just life in general. But what do you know much about anxiety? How would you class anxiety as?
I mean, it's like almost like a pressure. Like the feeling of it, or like...
The class.
I'd say anxiety
is... The difference
is,
between fear and anxiety.
Well, anxiety is feeling uncomfortable, isn't it? In comparison to fear, which is a bit more...
Well, anxiety is almost more of an uncertainty. It's the not
you don't know
knowing
what's
what
gonna
you
happen.
Can do or what you can do to fix it.
Whereas I'd say fear is more immediate. Like fear is, you know that there's something... about to happen.
Yeah,
it's way more immediate than anxiety. Like, anxiety is maybe the more future forward.
You know what to fear, but my favorite analogy is it's like if boss music started playing and you couldn't see the enemy.
Oh,
because you know you should be afraid and you are afraid, but you don't know where.
I don't know. Yeah. I kind of feel like if that happened to me, like, and it just kept, I went on too long, that would hit the point where I'm like, okay, the boss is glitched. Where is he?
Just walking down the street, all of a sudden, boss music starts. It's like, oh, he's stuck in a wall somewhere. Conspiracy theorists often describe in a way where they shape the unknown force for a reason for like tragic, strange, or sometimes bizarre events in the world. So it's what they'll do is they'll say, oh, it's this reason is for all of these other causes. So you could say global warming is all those people think the flat earth. They think, oh, it's a conspiracy theory for this said reason. And that leads into like fusion paranoia. So fusion paranoia, the person who coined the term was named Michael Kelly. He's a Washington Post journalist. Basically, it refers to a political convergence of activists around anti-war issues and civil liberties, thereby inaugurating an unrivaled period of people actively preparing for apocalyptic or millenarian scenarios, so basically end of the world, I believe, in the United States of the late 20th and earliest 21st centuries. Essentially, it boils down to people believing in the same theories, thus fusing their paranoia together.
Oh, okay.
So, like birds not being real. Or they're going to have like cameras in
or
them.
Or like preppers in general.
Yeah,
like,
so essentially it revolves around one collective group of people going, that sounds legit, and then they all kind of feed into
They'll
that
feed into that one enormous delusion.
So we're like, oh yeah, I've seen that. Oh, I've recognized that pattern before. And then they carry on and on and
Would
on.
Would flat earth count into that?
Yes.
Okay.
We've already had a podcast about conspiracy theories if you're into that.
We have.
And you can go back into our backlog and check that out.
No, that wasn't one of the last ones I did.
It was one that you hosted, I remember that.
I did, yeah. But the last one I ever did was the one where we all picked in and had an argument, and then we had to make an argument whether we agreed about it or not.
Or was it?
So
let's move on to something a little bit lighter. Let's go into paranoid fiction. Paranoid fiction is a term used to describe works of literature that explore the subjective nature of reality and how it can be manipulated by forces in power. These forces can be external, such as totalitarian governments, or it can be internal, such as a character's mental illness or refusal to accept the harshness of the world they are in. You can find this in examples of H.P. Lovecraft, Philip K. Dick, Hunter S. Thompson, George Orwell. 1984 can be viewed as a balance of the two. It depicts the party as crushing depicts the party as crushing free will through a strictly defined language and constant monitoring, but it also through psychological torture and the distorting of people's viewpoints on what is true and what is false.
Do you know what's interesting about 1984? So, like, they use the term doublespeak to mean, or doublethink to mean, so it's like when one thing means another. So, like, for example, the ministry that runs all the wars in 1984 is called the Ministry of Peace. The ministry that tortures people is the Ministry of Love. They take out certain words of their vocabulary in order to create that sort of like paranoia and to dumb people down, because the idea being that sort of being able to articulately explain your problems is in key to rebellion. And like, you can even get arrested. Like, I think the idea being 1984, you get arrested for talking in your sleep. Because that's a thought crime.
You can also see it within films such as The Matrix, Fight Club, Shutter Island, Videodrome. Mm. So essentially, it's not just about,
is it bad that
Nazis?
I've never heard of Videodrome?
What?
Is it bad that I've never heard of Videodrome?
It's not surprising you haven't heard of it. It's like a 1970s horror film starring James Woods.
Okay, that would explain it. I don't like any of those three things.
James Woods like Hades.
James Woods like Hades.
Cool.
Yeah. He plays a scumbag TV exec who has the most X-rated content on the network, and then discovers something even better.
Ooh, the letter Y.
It's one of the films by Cronenberg. So like, you remember the Rick and Morty episode where the whole planet becomes Cronenberged? Yeah. There's a lot of that.
Yeah, okay. Weird
flesh monsters.
I'm in.
I mean, I think Silent Hill is one of my favorite series, and I think that kind of plays onto the whole.
Yeah.
Because in Silent Hill 2, the monsters are actually manifestations of the main character's desires.
Yeah.
Because they're all like fleshy monsters. Literally, two are just two pieces of legs on top of each other.
And
the sexy nurses.
Yeah, the guy just wants to fuck, right?
They're meant to represent him sexually objectifying the nurses who are looking after his dying wife. And how he feels about that.
Okay.
And each main character in the series basically have their own guilts that the Silent Hill itself manifests into, like, torture for them.
Yeah.
And then that's kind of like a form of it.
I've never had the chance to play a Silent Hill game. Like, I've heard 2's always been the best. I was really looking forward to PT when that came out, because I thought it would be my first chance to, like, properly get into a current version of a Silent Hill game.
Just don't trust the Western ones.
No, that's the thing. That's what most people have said.
The first 3, I think, are the main ones. Yeah. Number 4 is still good, but it still took a step down. And then they went into the downpours and the rest.
Homecoming? Was that one?
Homecoming
of them?
Was one too. It was Downpour, Homecoming, and Shattered Memories, and each one I think got worse.
The only one I played was with Gowan, I think, and it was a co-op game.
Oh, is that the really, really shit one? The one that like pretty much like I think got
bad. Was that on the Wii or the Wii U?
No, we definitely played it on the PlayStation, I think.
It was the one that was essentially like Alan Wake, but online.
Probably.
Because it had to do with like light.
I don't know why, but the idea of a Silent Hill game on the Wii U just makes me...
I mean, on the Wii itself,
find that very funny.
There's a really cool game, I think, called Fatal Frame on the Wii.
Oh, I remember Fatal Frame.
It's a game where you need to take photos of ghosts, because apparently ghosts don't like their picture taken. And
no, they hate it.
It destroys their evil.
Notoriously camera shy.
I think that's also on Steam, because I think I have it from like an old horror Humble Bundle, but I've never tried it because I'm too scared.
If I remember right, there was a Korean horror game which had the same kind of concept, where it was a Korean schoolgirl wandering around with a phone camera, if I remember correctly, and one with an old style camera.
I'm too terrified to ever check.
Yeah. I'm just like, nah, I don't want to play this. Like,
you should... there you go.
Like Western horror, fine. Like... Western video game horror, like Korean and like Japanese horror, like Korean and Japanese video game horror, nah.
that's
very good
level, isn't it?
I've actually been watching a playthrough, a non-commentary playthrough of Resident Evil 1 and now 2. Because I'm the kind of pussy that will never actually watch them or play them, but I want to watch them be played, if that makes sense.
I kind of get that, mainly because of those old school games. You need to be kind of knowing what you're doing.
Yeah. It's like you were talking about, I was originally thinking, I might play Resident Evil 1, I might go through it. And then I remember you talking about doing the remake and how it took you ages to go through it. And I thought, I don't think I've got the patience to do that.
It won't take you ages if you look online and go, like, okay, what do I need to do next?
Yeah.
In the sense of like... Okay, so I would never find out that I need to go to this opposite side of the mansion to pick up this one key to go to the opposite
and
of the mansion
and then go to back.
Thing.
Yeah. That's it. Like, I don't know. I feel like then reading a guide on how to do it, you may as well just watch somebody else do it anyway at that stage, because you're not experiencing
you're not,
it yourself in the same sense.
Go ahead. I was going to say, it's what I didn't like about the Amnesia series, where it just felt like I'm in a room and you've got to pull a candle on this side of the room, move a book in this certain order, and then the next section will open up. And I was like, and my friend was literally just going, do this, do that. And I was like, I'm not really playing the game. And I don't know how I would have learned to do this anyway.
I could tell you how you learn that.
How?
Fucking trial and error.
Well, that's the thing. I do not have time for that.
I spent like a half an hour in a room in Amnesia, like Dark Descent, trying to figure out, like literally we're climbing the rafters in the room. We were like picking up like books, like we're doing everything. Turns out I could just move the fucking log blocking the door.
Oh. You should, Yahtzee, who usually does zero punctuation, has been doing a series over the last year where he makes 12 games in 12 months.
I saw that, yes, I've been watching some of it.
A surprising amount of them have something to do with like anxiety. Like all his games feature around that as like a central concept. Like there's one where the anxiety of you're on the phone to someone and you still need to go to the toilet and do all these other things in your daily life to try and find like your social security number and things like that. Like that's a large central part of like most of his games that he ended up doing.
I've played a few of his earlier games, but I've watched a few of those videos, but I haven't played any of his more recent
ones. Pretty interesting. There's only like two videos a month, so it's pretty like easy to catch up on. Like I think I did the first 6 months in like an evening or something.
So yeah, my final topic really is kind of a silly one. Do you believe in an evil twin?
In what?
Wait, what was the question?
Do you believe in an evil twin?
I'd like to.
Do you imagine that there's a version of yourself out there?
Yeah, Ben, and his brother Jack.
No, I can show you the other version.
Everybody has somebody who looks just like them, right? There's an alternate universe you everywhere.
So I've got one that my coworker found on Twitter a while ago.
I think I see evil versions of Luke everywhere. Like
probably. I'm a most generic looking person in the world.
Let's see, Ben.
This is apparently other me.
Oh, it's sexy you.
What about that is sexy?
His name is William. That's definitely an evil name as well.
Bradley, what about that picture is sexy?
The face. Mainly the pose.
He's pouting.
To be fair, though, Ben did that pose, it would be sexy Ben as well.
Ben's going to do it as well.
There we go.
Oh, actually, my God. It's the same person.
Ben looks like the evil version of William.
Yes, he actually does.
I don't know. William's an evil name.
Ben's not his real name.
Yeah, that's it. Not only is Ben not his real name, Richard is definitely an evil name.
Yeah.
So, we kind of use the joke, this is the darkest timeline.
Yeah.
A lot of people say that a lot. Do you believe in the multiple universes and there is a good and a bad sort of scenario you're in?
I've always liked the multiverse theory, though. But like, it's always one that, like, if you think, like, it's because when you look back on your life and then you think, like, what actions, like, whenever I look at, for example, coming to Plymouth Uni, what chain of events didn't happen to that, or even like to that extent, like I probably wouldn't be sitting in this room if I didn't join the Game Society in Plymouth Uni.
Yeah, those are small factors that
take it on. Like, it's those little things like, you know, what if there is another version of Ben that didn't do all these things? What's he doing right
Ben
now?
Ben seems to be thinking, what if there's a cooler version of me? I didn't do Game Society.
If you're thinking about that though, like every decision you make will tangent off into like another spiral of like events which could occur.
Yeah. I say butterfly effect, that's what it's all about.
But can I like reach into paranoia of like, oh damn it, if I do this now, maybe I won't get a good ending.
Ben will remember this.
Oh no.
I definitely think it's one of those nice things to dwell on, like the, you know, oh, what could have been if I hadn't made these decisions, you know, like the same thing for me coming to Plymouth University. There was such a weird, like, kind of like specific, this happened and this happened for me to come here. I think it's nice to think about, but I think you could go down a very slippery rabbit hole if you suddenly...
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I try not to think about
this
kind of stuff too much.
Well, if this didn't happen, then like I could have gone to this university and then you can't do that. I think like, you know, like I think it's great to do. I'm not saying you are doing it. Don't worry, Ben. But like, yeah, I don't think I always think people that go like, oh, if I just done this, and then they spend the rest of their life always doing that. Yeah. I should have just done
this. It's also a circumstance that I literally went through media course and was just like, oh, fuck it, that one. I pointed at Plymouth, went to an open day and decided, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Like you got here literally by like going through emotions of, oh, what can I go to?
Yeah.
Oh, this is open. I'll go.
Yeah.
Mine was, there was a girl I wanted to bang that was coming here.
You came out of that.
That's
It's a little bit. That was one of the reasons why I looked at it originally.
It could be worse. I did that for like a theater course.
Did you?
Like a BTEC, and I had to do 2 years of singing, music, and dance just because the girl I was dating at the time did it, and I was like, for fuck's sake.
Out of curiosity, Bradley, what happened with that girl?
I'm good friends with her now.
Oh, good.
So, yeah. I'm still good.
I haven't told Phoebe yet. It wasn't like I'd said like, oh, I'm definitely coming, and then she backed out. But like, it was one of the reasons why I looked at Plymouth in the first place, and then I ended up just being like, oh, this seems like a great place to come.
Yeah, I don't
I'll
think
come
you
just here
made,
as a result.
You made a whole decision.
Yeah, I wouldn't have totally been like, I am definitely going here, Brandon. There's so many better options. No, definitely Plymouth.
You could have gone to Cambridge, Oxford. No.
Like there definitely is, but there is like the point of fear in that, isn't there? Like the paranoia, where like so there are those people who will get like absorbed by it, like yeah. like the yeah. whole what you know, like they almost don't then like live their own life. Because they're so concerned with yeah. what every little action and like past detail they made, like mistake they made.
It yeah. happens later on in life. So this is why I did a disclaimer at the start, because there's probably a lot of people out there who do battle with when they're in their later years thinking to themselves, oh, I've missed my opportunity to do this, that, and the other.
Yeah.
And it holds them back like, yeah. a lot of the time.
You hear it a lot when people do the whole, oh, I told them not to do that, or like I said we shouldn't do that. It's yeah. almost like a lesser form of that whole like regretting a decision you made, or regretting a decision you let someone else make. And I think it's fine, but I think, you know, it's almost not productive to say to someone, like, if a mistake happened, it's like, you can't just be like, well, I told you not to do it. It's like, that doesn't help me now.
Yeah, it's like, I don't have any arms anymore. Yeah. saying I told you so isn't going to fix this.
Yeah, but
saying I told you so isn't going to fix where I am in this point in situation.
Yeah.
But people love to be able to say, I told you so. I am justified.
You're right, but it doesn't change anything.
But when it's all you say, it's like, come on.
Yeah. I told you so.
All I do is tell spit straight truths. So, coming up to probably the reveal, any of you guys got any
Is it me?
Ideas?
It's not Bradley.
I'll look at my piece of paper again just to check.
As he then shows it to us all.
Okay. Turns out I've actually have a secret piece of paper.
One of
just kidding, I'm dead, I don't. None of us.
So I've noticed something, but I don't know if I'm just about to point out a tick that's going to make somebody very uncomfortable. But I've noticed that Maddie has spent the entirety of the podcast just kind of going and looking down at her clasped hands.
I mean, that's why I've written that.
I think it's between Ben and Maddie, if I'm honest.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I mean, my bet's still on the fact that there is no action. It's just Luke making all four of us paranoid.
I don't know what
that is. Definitely something Luke would do.
Like, I'm kind of thinking Maddie because you've, like, maybe be quiet. Although, Rob, you're also very accusatory. Like, you get like that when you are the traitor.
The word's accusatory, Ben.
Accusatory.
Thank you.
Accusatory.
I told you so.
Yeah, I think it's between Ben and Maddie. I'm swinging more towards Maddie because she's not trying to defend herself or anything.
It's not
or like
me.
Push it.
Oh, what an offense. Masterclass.
It's Ben because he's now pushing it onto Maddie.
That
more.
Is what Ben does.
That is what Ben does.
What I do.
It is definitely, this is exactly what you do.
You see, this is where those board games come into, this is the fun of them. In
yeah, because it gets to the point where everybody's arguing.
Just because I haven't been on the podcast in 9 months, I still know you. Don't get
You don't know me. I'm a different man.
Like, the only reason, I don't think it's Ben anymore because I've not really noticed him do anything unusual. So unless the bit of paper is at the end, accuse Maddie.
Yeah.
Or it's be yourself.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm gonna swing towards Ben and regret my decision when it turns out to be Maddie. Sorry, Ben.
All right, so have you guys making a decision? Are you?
Yeah, I'm going Ben.
I think it's you, Luke.
Do you know what the action is?
Wait, is Luke part of this?
Huh?
No, Luke's out.
No, how many papers?
Luke's out. Okay, cool. I was just checking. I was like, well, I didn't even think Luke was an option.
I'm going to vote Maddie.
Okay.
Shock.
Are you going to try and get the bonus point for the action, what it is?
Stay quiet. Okay. Because Maddie's been very quiet this whole podcast.
I'm a quiet girl.
That is a rock. Oh, I see. Yeah, now I'm like, Maddie's usually very chatty. And she has been pretty... Yeah, I'm going to switch to Maddie with the whole stay quiet.
I'm going to go with Rob, but I don't know what the action is.
Maybe my action was show a blank piece of paper.
I'm going to go around. This is the final decision. So, Ben, tell what your... No, don't do it. Tell me what your thing is.
Blame Maddie.
Tell me who you predict and what the action is.
I predict that it's Maddie and it was to be quiet.
Okay. I did it with Ben now. Ben. Okay. Sorry, Maddie, quiet.
Maddie, quiet.
Maddie, keep looking at your hands.
Maddie, keep looking
it
at your hands.
It was very weird. I kept on seeing it in the corner of my eyes. Like, what the fuck is she doing? Why isn't she talking? Am I the first to die?
I'm going to go with Rob. I don't know what the action is.
Accuse Maddie.
Accuse Maddie.
Okay, so you can all look at, reveal your pieces of paper.
Okay. Yeah, he's ready.
I can't wait to see.
Ben.
Blank.
Mr. Blank. Well, I mean,
yeah, you know, Bradley, we know you. You.
Rob. Blank.
And Maddie.
Yay, we got Blank. Maddie.
I what told you.
You son
I
of
told
a
you.
Maddie's like, I'm just hungover. Like.
That's the ultimate way of doing paranoia. Tell people that it's something completely different and watch them all panic.
Yeah. Yep. Damn it. Correctly. And also, he got this moment of saying, I told you so, so we all know the dickhead.
Bye-bye.
There is the Paranoia RPG, isn't there? If I'm thinking of the right one.
Paranoia...
That's the one where you're not allowed to read the rule book.
So, conspiracy theorists, shifty friends, and board games are galore. Sometimes you can be right, and sometimes you can say, I told you so, but in the end, it doesn't matter, because the person who has the rules are the ones guiding you into that paranoia.
Oh, no.
So technically, it was Luke. Luke was the traitor to begin with.
I did say
he betrayed
that.
Us all.
But just remember, ladies and gentlemen, sometimes you are right.
Yay.
This has been the Rab Robin Podcast. Please subscribe to us on Castbox, iTunes, Spotify, and wherever you can find podcasts, if they do exist.
Google Play. We're
and
on there.
Google Play.
And yeah. Spotify turned up.
I already said Spotify.
We've been on Spotify for years. What are you just realizing this now?
Mostly because Ronan was asking about it the other day, and I was looking for it on Spotify. I said, where the fuck is it?
Have a good evening, afternoon, morning, and or night.